Welcome back to Schizotopia. As always, I'm your host, Maxwell Cody. And joining me tonight, Mr. Eight Plates himself, Mr. D.C.
Well, I'll tell you, it's glad to be here. Thank you so much.
All right, we're starting off with a bit. Okay, let's go.
Thank you so much, Johnny. I tell you, it's so hard coming out here, man. Podcasts, they sell me. My wife, she won't let me do podcasts anymore. Either way, glad to be here. Thank you so much. You guys are a great audience. Thank you.
Is it, this character to me is like exactly what the average Canadian still thinks the average American is because of TV.
Yeah, it's Rodney Dangerfield. I've just been looking up old clips of like talk shows because I've been looking at that recently.
You know, and I would say Dangerfield is a good approximation of a large part of America's population, especially the Northeastern seaboard. That's not a bad composite, actually. So it would make sense that a Canadian would think that way.
Were you ever a fan of like talk shows yourself?
I mean, I was raised on TV, dude. 100%. Nice. I mean, I was raised on... I would watch Nickelodeon until it turned into Nick at Night, and then I would just keep watching Nick at Night. So by the time I was pubescent, I feel like I was completely up to date on like the last 100 years of TV.
Dang, really? Because I was the same way, man. I used to watch SpongeBob in the mornings and Transformers at night, but I was never familiar with all the rich history of all the talk shows. And you know, Johnny Carson, Orson Welles had a TV show. That's insane, man. He had a pilot.
Yeah, I knew Captain Kangaroo. I was familiar with Captain Kangaroo. And I know someone out there will try to big brand me and correct me and say 100 years of TV. There hadn't been 100 years of TV yet. But okay, even there's a lot of stuff that was like proto television, like radio shows and stuff that was radio era inspired and
sure.
Stuff that was like popular culture even in the 19th century that kind of got absorbed into TV. So don't even try to fact check me on that one. All right.
No, I believe you. Yeah.
You just got back from a trip.
I mean, not literally back, you know, I've been chilling for a couple of weeks now, but yeah. I was away in the Middle East for a long time. We're getting right to that. That's awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, where were you? What happened?
So we essentially became because there was lots of issues during the trip, but it was supposed to be a fun little excursion to Egypt. Then Turkey, and that's all. And impromptu became a little mini trip to Israel as well.
I'm sorry, where?
Mm-hmm. I mean, occupied Palestine. Sorry, lefties. I don't know.
The Democratic Which one?
People. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Where'd you go in the Holy Land?
So I was not there for too long. It was only a few days. So I just did Jerusalem and Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv plays while Jerusalem prays. Where did you go? Did you go to the Western Wall?
Yes. I actually went to the West Bank as well because I'm interested. I did. So I'm a LARPer mostly. You know, I love the journalism work without any of the credentials. So honestly, I just like going
you
around.
Could be a
I
vice
just...
journalist easily. So,
hey yo,
whoa, kind of kicking them while they're down, right? They're on their way out. But
you are the blood pumping, blood sucking smugglers of opium in Denmark. Did you hear about that, bro? Did you hear about the butt buddies of Jerusalem? This is the new article I'm working on. But no, it was good, man. It was just like a fun time. I went around, spoke to people, sat down with the pen and pad and wrote down interviews that were never going to be published. It was fun.
Well, why can't they be published?
I mean, they can, but it's like at that point, you're just writing a blog. You know, if you don't have an actual job and you're just doing an article, you're writing a blog, which is sad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for me,
it's the era we're living in, man. Well, hold on a second. You can put out a podcast.
Yeah.
That nobody necessarily listens to, can't put out a couple articles that nobody necessarily reads. Why not?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't. That's the thing.
Believe
look, I'm
yourself,
not,
man.
That's true. I ouch that you said that the podcast is not getting listened to. It is, but let me just step aside and say that I don't have the energy to start again. I'm getting old. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting too old.
How old? You're like fucking, you're 19 years old. What are you talking about?
Look, I'm already almost approaching on my mid-20s. You know what I'm saying? 22 years old, I feel
I didn't even have my first coherent human rational thought until I was about 27. So you're like not even born yet, as far as I'm concerned.
You have a cognitive capacity, you know, unmatched online, I think. It's different. I don't have that energy. I don't have the ability to think.
No, trust me, you'll hit 27 and you will actually have a coherent, logical adult thought. And you'll be like, what? What the fuck was that? And you'll be disturbed for a while.
Like,
and then you'll be
Steve
like,
Austin?
Oh, wait a second. I'm not a fucking child forever, right?
True.
There's been a lot of arrested development, prolonged adolescence. That's just part of the era that we're living in. And, you know, I think that I was just a complete teenager until I was about 27 years old. So I don't think that was just me. I think that's like my whole... It was bad for millennials. It's even worse for Zoomies. So, I mean, I wouldn't beat yourself up too much about that. There's no reason.
I beat myself off about it. Well,
I don't doubt. And actually, probably a healthier attitude than most actually would be to beat yourself off about it instead of beating yourself up. You know what, kids? There's my sex positive message for you.
Yes, sir.
Beat yourself off instead of beating yourself up, okay? Much more healthy. It's much more healthy.
That's crazy. What do you think about that, man? Like, the attitude to sex is so weird online. I don't know if you want to really talk about that, but
that's fine.
It's been
that's something I think about quite often. And, you know, I would say we all had to deal with this boomer thing where the boomers were like, We lived in a sexually repressive society, so let's unrepress all sexuality.
Yeah, man.
And then we've had a couple decades of that, and it's had its virtues. I'm not a trad or whatever else people like to accuse me of. There is some virtues to that. There is some virtues to sexual liberation. But now we're coming to the other side of it, and we're seeing what it would be like to live in a society that's completely sexually unrepressed. And basically, as it actually exists, it's the pornification of everything that eventually just fries your brain and makes you miserable. And the irony is, it's not that we're all becoming sex maniacs; we're becoming asexual. You know, like Zoomies are having less sex than ever. Millennials are having less sex than ever. Everybody is becoming actually asexual and weird, and that's the actual product of zero sexual repression. So I don't know how that's going to fix itself. I feel like there's actually something Darwinian that's going to happen, where it's like the people who can't unplug themselves simply won't reproduce, something like that maybe. But I'm just saying we're gonna enter a new something that's not sexual liberation or sexual repression. It's going to be some secret third thing that's still kind of up in the air. That's my big brain take on internet sexuality. Thank you.
Well, this is insane. It's actually hilarious because the audio actually when the important stuff was getting said. So like all the filler, I literally got none of that. But I'm going to pretend to understand because I kind of heard a few bits.
We were talking about your trip. Let's go back to Israel, please.
No.
Something
okay,
I say all the time. Let's go back to Israel on this podcast.
Which is either way, but so just be careful. Sometimes it cuts out. So if I interrupt or I'm generally autistic, I'm very suave, actually.
We all know how suave you are, DC. Okay. Trust me.
I'll put the
aftershave on in editing, but we all know how Rico Suave you are.
Here's what's tripping me out. By the way, if you guys don't know, guys and girls, if you haven't been on the Schizotopia podcast, Max puts up a picture of himself, Instagram filter from 2012, a lo-fi filter. He's got this Chris Hansen style, you know, like just look all type of deal. And suddenly I don't get unsettled again. I'm suave, but I just have to say thank you. Thank you for putting that up for me.
I'm going to tell you about how that picture was taken. And then that's just going to be the jacket for this episode, is that picture of my face, actually.
Hell yeah.
Because it's actually me. I agree. I shaved. I put a cap on. So I'm definitely trying to take off like 5 or 7 years, whatever I can get away with. And I also got up early so that I would get instead of a filter, I would get actual golden light from the morning to flatten my face and hide my little ginger wrinkles. Right. And then I took that as like a little test photo. And then I was like, no, actually, this came out pretty good. And I could pass for like 26 in this picture. So
you look
yes.
fit, too. Yeah, you look like a jacked bro.
Well, I'm a pretty big guy in general.
Nice.
So that's not. Yeah. Looking kind of fat. Something that I struggle with, DC.
Intrusive thought. I trip itself. Yeah. So Egypt. I went there
back to Israel, where we all want to be. In Israel.
Please. Okay.
All right. So we're in Israel, where everybody really wants to be. Everybody's favorite country that you decided to go to.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was out of spite. Let me tell you this. Originally, the plan was just to go to Egypt and then Turkey, but then Egypt treated me so poorly. I was like, how can I make these security guards at the airport the angriest at me? So I picked out the most spicy location. That's really, as everything in life, I did it out of spite. So that's why I chose Israel.
Well, you're a person of farsics.
Yes, correct. So I'm Iranian, so they couldn't stamp my passport. They can just give me a little sticker that I held. It's like a, I still have it. It's just a little pass that lets you not work but just visit the country. It's a visa. But if they stamp your passport, I couldn't go back to Iran for until my passport
Oh,
gets
so they give you a
renewed.
little courtesy sticker.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little card. Yeah.
Oh, and did they give you some extra questions, a little extra,
Well, because they
what
can't
are you
find out
doing
my
here?
last name, as you just f figured out, is it's Hungarian, you know. So they can't really tell. And honestly, my first name, it's been Ebonified in the U.S. And you know what I'm saying? So there's many people who have that name. So it's not really indicative of Iranian lineage. So she asked me like, the woman at the security at the airport, she's like, "Well, where's your last name from?" I'm like, "Oh, Hungary." It's just like, huh. She gave me that weird look trying to remember if they were with the Nazis or not. But no, either way, it was fine. I passed through security, no problem. And here's the weird thing though. I think that I do look Jewish, like as a person, because I got like Middle Eastern features, but I'm from the north of Iran, so I'm pretty light skinned. And yeah, so I think I got better treatment because people thought I was Jewish, except when I went to the West Bank, obviously.
Well, I guess in the West, anyone that looks vaguely Middle Eastern could be
Yeah.
Jewish.
Well, Middle Eastern and lighter, that's the thing, because it's like it's the Arab Jewish pipeline that people like, you know. It's because they don't have, you know, people like to rag on Americans for being uncultured, and I think it might be true in some aspects, but when you haven't seen many of, you know, many people from a certain region, you can't expect them to know the differences. You know what I'm saying? It kind of makes sense. Like if you're in Iran, you see all these people from different Arab countries, you can tell the difference between, by the way, Egypt is not even really an Arab country. They speak Arabic, but it's not, you know. They have a very, very long lineage of you know, depending on who you ask, either African or own, their own descent. And you know, so if you're Asian, you can t see these people are from here or there. But if you're in America, you've seen how many Lebanese people, you know, or Libyans. You know what I'm saying? That the sample size is so small, you can't expect them to know exactly what a Libyan looks like.
So, all right. So, how, what did you do in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv?
Well, that now. Max, don't forget that I'm still kind of funny sometimes. I think funny at sometimes a little bit. If you set me up with a your mom answer, don't expect me to take the smart route, you know? So would you like to rephrase?
No, I would not. You go right ahead.
All right, well, now that I put the bit out there subliminally. So in your minds, you put it's kind of Inception. I rewatched Inception last night, man. It's not really a good movie, but it's so enjoyable. It's so
It's
good.
an overhated movie, and also
Yeah.
it's one of those movies where people it pisses me off because people act like the movie's confusing. A dream within a dream is not a difficult concept. There's nothing like it's not
Yeah.
that deep. It's not
Yeah.
meant to be actually, because what Inception is supposed to be a movie about movies. It's a meta movie about what directors do. They
Absolutely.
commit Inception on you. And I remember enjoying it the first time I saw it. And then I don't know, people the hype around that movie turned into hatred for it, where people are like,
Right.
oh, it's pretentious, blah, blah, blah. And
Yeah.
when I think that actually that movie is actually a very straightforward
I was gonna say,
action
yeah.
film heist, dream within a dream. None of it is that complicated, nor is it meant to be. It's just a statement about
Absolutely.
movies, and I think it's a good movie. I think it holds up very well. I don't understand why what people's problem with it was.
So actually, I'm a little two-faced guy. Not to reference another Christopher Nolan movie, I'm a little two-faced guy. I got two faces to every thought. You know what I'm saying? First of all, I thought, yes, you're right. It's a straightforward movie about creativity. But then maybe it goes deeper. You know, maybe there's actually another level within the level. Do you think there's some credence to the theory I just came up with that Inception is secretly a heroin movie?
What's the heroin? Oh, because
Because
they
they
inject you with
inject
sleep juice,
and
and
they
then
nod off. Yeah, they
and
nod off.
you get lost in heroin world, and
Yeah.
then real
And it
world
always
becomes
gets deeper.
unreal.
And the fix is not enough, so you have to take another fix to get within the trip within a trip, you know? And what do they call it when they wake up? A kick, you know? What do you do with the
Yeah.
bad habit? You kick the habit. What does
Yeah.
DiCaprio's character do to see his dead wife? He shoots up junk, man. It's crazy. And what does he
Yeah, and
do?
then she's like, she doesn't
Yeah.
like the fact that he wants to get better, so she
Yeah.
ODs. Yeah, I could see that. And then yeah, it's like the whole like don't Narcan me thing. I want to be high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I mean,
And
but
also the
that would also kind of just tie into how we're
yeah.
all screen addicts now. And maybe Nolan saw that. He's trying to warn us.
True. That's copyrighted, actually. Screen Junkies, that's a company that does funny videos in LA.
Ah, shit. Do I have to send him? So I'm gonna bleep that out. I'm gonna bleep Screen Junkies out now, so we don't have to talk about that. So anyway, all right. So you went to Egypt, you went to Israel. Where else you go?
Turkey afterwards.
Oh,
I,
where in Turkey?
So just Istanbul, you know, just Istanbul. And again, look, it sounds a little boring, but honestly, I think it gives you a new layer of perspective. And that's really cheesy to say, but it's true. When you go somewhere new, it really does, man. You get to see how people act and feel, and especially since, you know, when they get a few drinks in them, then you get how they actually think. Usually that's the thing. Cause usually at first they're a little, you know, they have to show that I'm actually a very rational man. I'm very, you know, I love everyone and I'm very diplomatic. That's what people sound like usually at first, but then you get a few drinks in them and then you get to the realer stuff. Sometimes it's nasty, true. But most of the time it's really just like, you know, stuff that they wouldn't be comfortable saying in a public setting. And when they get to know you and they get a little, you know, tipsy, they get to say that.
All right,
stuff.
What's some real shit that you heard in Istanbul?
Well, man, it not necessarily Istanbul. Istanbul, I feel like people were just like too in their, they're in their own stuff. You know what I'm saying? They're really like, they're like focused on the daily grind mostly. Cause I was in the Asian side where it's gentrified to some point, but then also Katakoy? There's lots of poverty. Katakoy, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Dude, what the heck? Hell yeah. Yeah. So that's,
I spent some time in Istanbul. It's one of my favorite cities I've ever been to.
Nice.
Yeah. I would love to go back. I don't know if it's because the last time I was there was like 10 years ago. And I think that's when the gentrification was really starting. Right. So I remember being on my way out of the city and seeing, you know, all these new developments and condos that were being built and kind of being like, I don't know if I'll ever get to come back to this same city, actually. But yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's still cool. But I loved it there. I mean, what were you drinking? Were you drinking the Rakı, the licorice liquor that they love?
Now, here's the crazy thing, and that's why I missed. It's kind of one of my biggest regrets. It's because I did 1 year sobriety because I went way off the deep end in the inception.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So I did 1 year, but then I was like, yo, this is kind of gay. Sorry for the expression. I'm gay myself. I just like
you say that in Canada, you're going to get put in front of one of those human rights tribunals.
Yeah, but it's like you could, you know, it's like the N-word. The guys could say it. The gays, we can say gay, right? I can say something's gay in a positive way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it's,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's all good. So. All I'm saying is, so I was like, yo, this is stupid. I'm not going to keep doing this. So what I did is now I'm drinking heavily. But during that time, unfortunately, I got to miss out. And here's the weird thing is you feel kind of guilty as well. Because when you're just drinking Sprite and then the other guy forgets that you're drinking Sprite and he's drinking beer, he thinks you're getting deeper and deeper within the levels of inception, you know, with him. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a drink within a drink for him and for you. But it's not the case at all because you're just chilling and he's getting more and more belligerent. So yeah. I felt kind of like an abuser. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, you were going to tell me some real shit that the Turks told you while they're getting, sloshed.
Sure. I don't really have, I should have prepared. I don't know. I don't really have a crazy, a one word thing or one sentence thing like, oh, they said this or whatever. It's just, I feel like they're more, you know, especially when you talk about America and the West and how, you know, the tensions there work. And then especially with the ethnic minority, because lots of people who run restaurants there are actually not, you know, the main Turkish. There's Armenians there. There's a few, Kurds there, stuff like that, you know, so it's not all, and those people have, you know, faced a lot of oppression, stuff like that, so they have to kind of watch their mouth, because if they just mouth off at any freaking tourist that comes along, then they can get to, you know, jailed and stuff like that. So that's really what I'm talking about. They're more honest about the role of, like, you know, America and keeping them sort of, you know, second class citizens inside of Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it was Egypt, Israel, Turkey, and then home?
Yeah, actually, then Toronto. I went to see Queens of the Stone Age. Great band. Can we shout them out real quick?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know they were still around.
They absolutely, and they rock like crazy. Okay, this is turning into like a 1990s freaking MTV interview. It's like, yeah, they rock, bro. But they do. They're great. They have great energy on stage. I could never at that age.
Yeah. I can't at my age. But so, hold on. Where did you grow up? You grew up in Canada, right?
Yeah. I was born in Hungary. Then we went to Iran, and now I'm in Canada. Yeah.
And then, hold on, are both your parents Persian?
No, Persian Hungarian. Yeah.
So how did that happen, Persian Hungarian?
Well, a Persian and a Hungarian walked into a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, in France.
So your parents met in France. Wait, hold on. Which parent is Hungarian?
What is this,
which
bro?
Parent is Persian?
yeah. Essentially, here's the crazy thing that happened in Egypt, though. I remember lots of people read Mein Kampf. I've been saying this a lot, and it's not to disparage the Egyptian people, but there's insane anti-Semitism in Egypt. It's crazy.
Okay. So you did you pick up an Arabic copy of Mein Kampf?
I kind of wanted to, but going to Israel, I'm glad I didn't, because they you know, like that would have been, obviously they didn't search my bags, but it would have been really awkward to go into Israel, because I went from Egypt to Israel, then back to Egypt, then to Turkey. So it was crazy, but it is funny. There's tuk-tuks there that have the swastikas, you know, they have swastika logos on there, stuff like that. So it's very, I think it's almost like a Japanese or Korean K-pop band sort of, you know, redomestication of the symbol. It's not actually that they're Nazis, but they don't have the, you know, they don't have the cultural aversion to that symbol, so they just put it everywhere because it looks cool.
Well, because they see it as being hostile to Israel and hostile to the West, and so it's sort of like enemy of my enemy,
Mein
even
Kampf,
if,
yeah. But
yeah,
the swastika, I don't think so. The swastika looks really just, I think it's because there's, I have a picture, I can send it to you. It's like a tuk-tuk. So those little cars that drive around like one or two passengers. And it's literally, it's what is it, Wile E. Coyote or one of those guys, like a cartoon character, stabbing a picture of Europe with the old Hungarian fascist flag on there and then a little swastika logo. It's insane. It's too goofy to be serious.
Well, but wait a second. Who has this? Like, Europe is the swastika or the
It's weird. Let me look at it again. I have the picture, but yeah, essentially it's like there's a European map and that has sort of a spreading fascist Hungary. Like it's like Hungarian slash Italian, you know, just those green, white, and red flags. And then from
Wait a second. Is this
yeah.
in Egypt or this is in Hungary? I'm
No,
confused.
so wait a second. This is all in Egypt. This is all a picture
All right.
in the back of a tuk-tuk. Yeah, on the window of a
Okay.
tuk-tuk. Yeah. But
And then.
Let me stop trying to remember stuff. Now I'm back on the booze, buddy. I can't remember stuff good, but yeah. Let me just find the picture.
I'm trying my hardest to get one decent travel story out of you.
I know, man. It's hard because look,
You know, you wanted to talk about your travels. You just went to one of the most, you went to arguably the
yeah,
most
and I
contentious region on Earth.
yeah. Look, I
And
know,
you can't seem to remember anything that happened. And
man.
also,
Yeah.
which kind of makes me feel like you do remember what happened. You just don't want to tell me.
And that's kind of true. You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest here. That's
How
kind of
much am I
true.
going to have to inception you to get a fucking travel story? Normally,
Yeah.
people, when they get back from their travels, they're annoying in how much they
I
want to tell you
know.
about what happened.
And I think that's the thing. Look, I'm not smart, okay? Very, very stupid. But at the same time, I think I have enough awareness to know how much of a fucking pain in the ass those guys are when they come back from travels. Like, here's a picture of the bathroom I was in my Airbnb, and there was this really nice woman who sold me cheese. It's like, I don't care about that stuff, man. I'm too I've got too much cynicism and disgust for those people to say really anything. So I feel like all the stories, like even when I sat down, so I sat down with a guy who was a pomegranate juice salesman in the West Bank, and he went on, you know, saying he got family in California, blah, blah, blah. That's all interesting, but it's like if I tell you a story, you know, it's like who cares? You know what I'm saying? I know you'll say that everybody does, but it's not true. I feel like I don't have enough of an insight to actually say anything interesting, so I'm just gonna shut up. You know what I'm saying? That's been a big thing. I've been just talking
Your
for no reason.
humility, listen, your humility is refreshing, but
Thank
also
you.
unwelcomed here. Okay. So, I mean,
Yeah.
on one hand, it's nice to talk to somebody who isn't completely up their ass, but on the other hand, you
Oh, I
need
am.
that for some podcasting. Okay. You need the content.
I do, I
So,
do.
we're going to
Oh,
start
I
talking about
found a
your
tuk-tuk.
parents
All right, I
again.
found it. Here we go, Bat. I
All
found a
right.
tuk-tuk.
Thank you.
Yeah,
What
so
does it
it's
look like? Explain it in vivid detail.
Dude, it's not even the. It's Banjo Kazooie. Banjo Kazooie holding a military knife with blood on it. Okay, and then it's got, as I said, an undescript, indescript. Oh, actually, it might be. I can't recognize the country. I didn't pass geography. Either way, there's a country with the outline of like a green, white, and red flag, the fascistic, you know, fascist style flag. I don't know exactly where from. It's probably Italy or Hungary, as I said. And then up top, there's like a big Nazi outline, and with the swastika on there. I'll show you the picture. You make that the post cover.
Yeah, I will superimpose my face on the swastika. That'll be great.
It's so funny because the way you have this picture looking at me right now, it could look as, or you look like either an author, you know, on the back of the book. It's like
That's what I'm
Maxwell
going for.
Cody is a yeah, or like a really alt-right figure. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the man running the underground Nazi elite underground railroads, stuff like that. You know.
This is the man running America's first tuk-tuk.
Yeah, the interviewer, he's like, so what exactly pushed you to put a swastika on there? Hey man, look, I can't appropriate the culture without putting the real stuff on there, you know.
And I
I had to
said
put it
Egyptian pride worldwide.
there. Here's the thing, and that's another part of my sense self-censorship, is that I have had zero positive experiences in Egypt. Can we say this? Like,
Okay,
for a region
yeah.
as contentious and as, you know, controversial as Israel Palestine, everybody was extremely kind to me. And obviously, yes, I didn't go into the Gaza Strip. I understand that's way more you know, real over there. But at the same time, neither Israelis, you know, like Jewish Israelis, nor Arab Israelis, nor, you know, Arabs in the West Bank, blah, 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 no one, like Palestinians, no one ever treated me with condescension or tried to scam me, or it was, everybody was so open, and so it was humanity manifest, you know. It was so pure, it was so beautiful, that to me was much more, you know, eye-opening. Because usually you hear that's like, oh, well, you know what the Palestinians want to do, they just want to kill every Jew, and what the Jews want to do, they're the new Nazis. It's like you hear that stuff and you get kind of like boiled up. And again, I'm not trying to excuse anything. There have been immense atrocities and still are to this day. Okay, I'm not trying to say that, but these people are so real and they're so human that I felt just delighted talking to them. Whereas in Egypt, All right, you go somewhere, and all they want us to do is, and again, people say, oh, it's poverty, or, you know, so, and I understand poverty's a factor, but literally not one person didn't try to scam me. Not one person didn't try to sell me some oil that's going to give me a fucking skin rash. You know what I'm saying? Not one piece of meat wasn't rotten. Not one piece of fruit wasn't rotten. Not one food didn't have hair in it. You know what I'm saying? All these things. That the first Airbnb I went to was a last minute booking because the hotel I'd had booked like 2 months prior was fake. It just did not exist. So I bought a hotel on booking.com.
Hold on. Yeah. What was the fake hotel called?
Lily Hotel.
And Lily Hotel physically does not exist. It wasn't like you booked with a hotel and then they were like, no, you booked with the wrong, like a scam website and we don't have room for you. This is a hotel that did not exist.
It is still up on booking.com, Expedia, all those websites. It's called LYLY Hotel, right? You go there and there's guys who are high. And again, I love drugs. I love drugs. No problem. But they're all clearly high, so high that they were like sluggish. They couldn't write properly. They couldn't stand up properly. And they say that at this address, there's no hotel. One of them stole my bag and ran out with it, so I had to follow him running. And they went to another address. And that's where the actual Lily Hotel is, although the listing is for the original address I showed up to. And then they go up, and you have to imagine the most disgusting, the most impossibly just puke-worthy stairs. You know, and I'm a clean freak, yeah, but I understand. It's the third world. You know, I didn't have high standards. But there's, like, chicken drumsticks on the floor, like, rotting. There's rats everywhere. There's at least a dozen rats everywhere, like in between the stairs, between the trash. There's literally trash and trash bags just littered everywhere around. The walls are rotten. You know, they have green freaking juice on them. The walls are juicy. You know what I'm saying? The freaking windows are broken. Everything, just a really hellish landscape. You have to go up 7 flights of stairs, which again is fine. I ain't fat. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind a little cardio. And then they open up the room. Now the room, even more disgusting than the stairs, right? So literally rotting chicken, cockroaches, rats, all that stuff. No toilet paper.
So wait, is this the last minute Airbnb or is this the fake hotel?
No, this is the fake hotel. This is the all fake right, hotel still. Yeah. And actually, I'm going to spoil the story a little bit for people who are too anxious and this is giving me anxiety.
No, don't spoil the story. I'm just making sure we're in the right scene here. All right.
I'm just going to spoil the story though. The Airbnb was actually pretty chill. But there's one reason to that. And if you want to find out the reason, you got to keep listening. Either way. But the Airbnb was pretty cool. Either way. So after all that, I show up. I'm like, okay, this is going to be rough. But again, I was in a heroin den in Hungary when I was there for a bit, you know, because I didn't have an Airbnb. I've been to kind of rough places. You know, I'm not trying to play the tough guy. You know, I'm a bitch. Everybody cracks. But I think that I could have handled that. It wasn't too bad, even though it was dirty and nasty. And there was music playing at 2 a.m. blah, blah, blah. So, but then they try to scam me. They're like, oh, give us your passport. I'm like, okay, no problem. That's usually how it happens and everything. And once they have my passport as kind of like a hostage, then they're like, oh, you haven't paid for this. Although I have the confirmation, I have everything that I had paid for it. And then, yeah, so they try to make me pay. And then I was like, no, I'm not paying because I have proof. They call the manager. And then at the end there, when I was just like, okay, I have had enough of this. This went on for like an hour, right? So I'm like, I don't want any more of this. I don't care. I'm going to find something. It's not, even if it's expensive for one night, I'll find a good hotel. And then afterwards, I'll get an Airbnb, right? But then they try to stop me from leaving. So I grab my bag. I'm like, sorry, guys. Obviously, they don't speak English, but I put it on Google Translate. I'm sorry, guys. Thank you so much. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the refund. I don't want it. I'm just leaving right now. And one of the guys grabbed me and he just like grabbed my arms. And he's like, no, you can't leave and everything. So I literally had to push him off and kind of run out the hotel. And this is how I got away from the first night in Cairo. So, yes, it was kind of a bad first situation.
So, but that was the fake hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't. But hold on. So the hotel actually existed. You already paid for it. But they are basically just going to try to extort you for more money.
Yeah, but the hotel didn't, though, because they brought me to another place. That's the main thing. So the address to which Lily Hotel exists is nothing. It's just empty. So then they stay there until someone comes along. They grab your bag and then they bring you to somewhere else. You know, either way. But not to get too, I'm not going to play like, oh, I was on the front lines or whatever. It's not that bad. It's just this is how it started. And it just got worse every single day. I mean, I'm telling you. I'm not one for bad impressions, okay? Some of the worst starts to trips, like Mexico City, which was one of the greatest places I've ever lived. I went there for the pandemic. It was the beginning was hard because I came there at night and it was kind of like in the, touristic area by day. But then by night, it's not that touristy, especially with COVID, blah, blah, blah. So it was a little rough. There's rough characters, stray dogs. So I was like, it's not great. But it turned out to be one of the greatest, most fantastic experiences in my life. It was really amazing. I loved Mexico City, top three cities in the world. But
you went to Mexico City for the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, just to live, because I worked remote, so I'm like, let me just do that from Mexico, because they were more free there. So
all right. And what made it so great?
I mean, it's just everything. And again, this is where sometimes it gets racist. People are like, oh, what, you say the people are better or whatever? But I'm just saying the culture, the way that even hostility towards, you know, the US / Canada guys or whatever is so much more coherent. Oh, and you know, so they're like, oh, I don't like your country, I don't like that, but let's just sit down. I mean, the human warmth is what I'm talking about. And I don't want to be treated like a royal or a king. I hate that as well. I hate the fake service, the, hello, sir, how are you going? How are you doing? Can I please help you? It's like, I don't want that. I want people to talk to me.
Just call
like
me a dirty gringo to my face.
Literally, yes, literally. Let's pour out some tequila. Tell me why I suck, and I'll listen, and I'll maybe give a counterpoint. It's all I'm asking for, you know? I don't want this royal treatment. But
how long are you in Mexico City?
So that was 2 months. 2 months in 2020. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And what else happened? I mean, is there something, or are we going back to the fake hotel?
I don't know. I didn't prepare for this. I just threw out a few topics. I'm just rambling. Sorry for the listeners. But yeah, no, it's just, in Mexico City, there's some kind of crazy stuff. I met a cartel guy there. That was pretty interesting. But stuff like that, but it was nothing too crazy. I mean, nothing like insane. But then back in Egypt, I'm telling you, it's not really worth going over, honestly. If you want to, I have examples, but it's just like everything that could go wrong, you know, when it goes to scamming and not having drinkable water and the shower being full of like chlorine, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're showering with pool water and that irritates your skin after a week or two. All that stuff, man, it's just like worse and worse. And honestly, you start feeling really bad for the people there, because it's like you realize like how, because it's very nice, you know, Cairo, Egypt, it has immense developments. They're building cities and cities, because Cairo, there's old Cairo, there's Muslim Cairo, Christian Cairo, and then there's like new Cairo, you know, new. So it's a whole new city, and essentially all these parts of the city are big enough to be a city by themselves, you know. So it's really like there's a ton of money going in there, a ton of roads, but corruption and the general poverty within the people is absolutely crushing. So you feel bad for their kind of conditions, but then when you get there and then they try to scam you and everything, it's like, yeah, you kind of like, all right, you know, I'm not saying it's good or whatever, but you feel a little mean, dirty satisfaction to leave the place.
So you are a Iranian cinema expert now? What is this?
Thank you. We're moving on. Yo, also, they stole my passport. I didn't say that. I'm a terrible storyteller. The police stole my passport in Egypt. Either way, let's not get into it.
That seems to be the move in any of these countries. They take your passport and you have to pay for it to get it back, which is why, you know, my rule was I never take my thumb off my passport in those situations.
It looks like you have a gun then. No? There's like, you're like a dirty Harry, sort of like, like a Clint Eastwood type deal.
In any of those situations, I would say you don't take your thumb off your passport.
Yeah.
And if they try to actually take it from you, you put it back in your jacket. And the other thing is, when it comes to like bribery, it's usually best to just be like, this is how much I'm going to give you right now.
Yeah, for sure. That's true.
That's the power play there, buddy.
Yeah. Because most people don't know this, especially guys who don't have to deal with this. In countries where they ask for bribes, bribes are not really a set amount. They think, so they put a high amount that even for us would be high. So we're like, oh, geez, that's a lot of money, but maybe I can do it. You know, and it's like like $1,000, something like that. But the living conditions are so bad and the money there is worth, you know, more to them than to us.
Yeah.
So
it's a little poker game. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. You just say like, oh, here it is. So you still accept that they're bribed, like that you need to give a bribe, but you really bring it way down. You don't have to do that weird stuff. Like, you know, 50
I'll
USD,
give you 20 bucks right now. I'll give you 20 bucks US right now. If you fuck off right now,
Even that's a lot, man. Sometimes they're just asking for a few dollars. And see, that's the thing. The problem was, I didn't know whether there were cops or not, because it's just guys with guns without badges. And one of them eventually, and again, it's crazy the surplus in manpower they have over there, you know, like you for a single situation, you know, for that, for example, when I was just taking video in the street, not of people, not just, you know, ambient video. And, you know, I was stopped for that. Like, oh, you can't film here. I was like, yeah, this is public. I can film that. And I looked it up, by the way, in advance. But then, yeah, so they just stopped me and they're like, give me your passport. So I gave it to them because I was like, okay, whatever. And they just like snatch it from my hand. And, you know, and then but that was one person. And while I was talking to that one person, at least 10 other guys showed up. You know what I'm saying? So this, imagine this scene where there's like 10 guys just like geezers, you know, with guns, no badge, no nothing, no equipment, no uniform. And so I was just, you know, it was a weird situation. It's like, are they going to shoot you? Do they even have guns at work? You don't know. So it happened to me 2 or 3 times, like being stopped by the police, fake police or whatever. When it was on the road, I just paid the you know, toll or bribe or whatever you want to call it. Cause it's not, there's a toll, but then they'd like double, triple it because you know, you're from Canada. So that I just gave. But then that one time when there was like 15 guys around me, I just grabbed my passport and left. Cause I was like, I cannot afford now to go to a police station where they literally have me surrounded and blockaded, you know? So if they're going to shoot a Canadian, you know what I'm saying? They might as well do it now, because I'm just crazy. So I was like,
they're
not going to
shoot a Canuck. They're going to see how much money can I get out of this fucking
absolutely
kid.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly it. And that's what people don't know. People think that they're in like a Tom Clancy novel. You know what I'm saying? When they're in the Middle East, like, everybody's trying to kill me. It's like, no, bro, you can just walk away of most situations, but don't
everyone's
forget
just trying
to take
to
your passport.
Nickel and dime you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Iranian cinema. You're getting in touch with your Farsix roots. What's going on there?
Yeah, dude. I watch way too many movies. So I'm like, and I want to write about something. So right now I'm working on a article for a Counter magazine, you know, the prestigious Bigfoot speaking Counter magazine.
Yeah. Sounds cool to me.
No, Counter magazine rocks. I know the guy, Zach, who runs it. And yeah, so I'm doing interviews. I just spoke to Amin Jafari, who is a director of photography for Jafar Panahi, who's like a really important, I think, in my view, important and really, you know, proficient filmmaker who was in prison recently. And he's banned. He was barred from making movies for 20 years in Iran. But he still does it, and he still puts it out clandestinely, and he's great. Yeah, it was very interesting.
Have you ever heard of the great Iranian Persian director Amir Chabon?
And here's where I'm going to come out as a poser. No, I have not.
All right, he did Samurai Cop. You ever see Samurai Cop?
Oh yeah, I have actually. I've watched that movie multiple times.
Yeah, he did Samurai Cop, Hollywood Cop, and Killing American Style. is this Persian dude who came over here?
Yes.
He tried his hardest to make American action movies, and there's nothing that ever is going to top Samurai Cop in terms of bad movies,
right,
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But Hollywood Cop is pretty fucking funny, and Killing American Style, it's the weakest of the three, but you can also tell he was trying his hardest on that one.
I'm telling these sons of bitches, I forget what the actual thing is, but you know when he talks about to the Japanese guy in the restaurant, you know,
fuku yaka or whatever.
Yeah. What's katana mean? It's short
I'll
for Japanese sword.
And the department. That's my favorite in the whole movie. I'll sue you and the department.
So good. Actually, incredible. No, my favorite unspoken. We're going back to vaudeville. We're going back to 1920s expressionist German cinema. When we see the partner, I forget what it's called, who's just reacting to the man himself flirting with the nurse. Remember that scene? When she's like,
mm-hmm,
are you circumcised? And the guy's like, ooh. He says like those reactions. That's really good. I mean, that's peak acting right there. I mean,
no, the doctor took too much. No, he was a good doctor.
By the way, they predicted The Good Doctor. You know that movie?
I was trying to talk to you about serious Iranian cinema, and it just evolved into quoting Samurai Cop.
I mean, we love it. I love. Here's the thing. Now, I've been gay and serious for this whole episode. I'm sorry about that. But here's the deal. I think that taking yourself too seriously is probably the worst thing you can do. Like, no matter what, like, cinema is serious. I don't think cinema is just entertainment. Like, it does have a value. It is art. But if you're just like, I only watch intellectual, thought-provoking cinema, it's like, no, but you got to watch stupid shit sometimes. You know, there's value in entertainment as well. So you got to balance it out. You have to have a portfolio that, you know, it's hard
to
use investing terms.
People forget
terms, but
Shakespeare is full of dick and fart and pussy jokes.
Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely.
That's lost on a lot of people. They think it's all highfalutin. But no, you needed to be able to talk to the people in the pews and the people in the plebes down below. So you got to be able to do both. But come on, what is this? You told me about how you've been getting into this very particular type of cinema.
I do. Okay. Yeah, I do. Yeah. So I've been interviewing that guy. And it's been really crazy trying to retranslate his answers and back into English. It's been a big challenge to me because I speak Persian, but you know, like, you don't, when you're quoting someone, you don't want to have their words paraphrased ever. Cause that's just stupid. Cause if you want to do that, you do it later. You don't do it. You want to have the actual words that he's spoken. Right. So I've been involved with my mom actually. It was kind of crazy. She was like, oh yeah. So she's just helping me a little bit with the translations, and it's been going great.
And where are we going with this?
Don't worry. Absolutely don't worry.
All right. That's fine by me. Cooking. You're a decent cook. What are you cooking? Let's talk about the food. Let's talk about the food, buddy.
Let's do that. Yeah, hell yeah. I love food. I think food's important. Yeah. Can we agree?
I'm asking you about the things that you told me you wanted to talk about. So
I did it. Fine, officer. Yeah. I don't know. I just listed off some stuff on DMs. But
all right, back to your parents. How did your parents meet? which one's Persian and which one is Hungarian?
Yeah, so my mother's Persian. That's why she's helping with the translations. Yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
She could have learned Persian because she loved your Persian father so much.
Yeah,
but
I don't know how people do that.
You got the Hungarian pop, and you got the Persian mama. And where did they meet?
What is this about, man? I'm a little, what's up? Yeah. Why? I'm sorry.
What do you mean? Why? I'm getting some bio here. You keep bringing up
Yeah.
your Persian identity, your kind of diaspora
I did it.
Canadian,
Yeah.
Kanukamut, whatever you guys call it up there.
Yeah.
And so,
Actually,
how did
just
that happen?
Canadian.
Why did you guys leave, move back to?
Yeah.
So they meet in France. They move back to
Yeah.
Persia. Move back to
Yeah.
Iran, and
Yeah.
then decide we're not really down with this
I
Ayatollah
don't know,
stuff
man.
or what?
That's a good question. I wish they were criminals. You know, don't you wish that sometimes? Don't you wish your parents were little fucking outlaws? You know what I'm saying? Mr. Smith?
I
Sort of
mean, a lot of
like.
the Persians I meet are Baha'is, and that's why they came over here.
Okay.
They're part of a religious minority, and that's why they had to get out, or because they were just
Yeah,
a
I mean.
little too liberal, or they were Shah enthusiasts and had to, that wasn't cool anymore, so they had to go. It's
I
usually
mean,
something
that's
like that.
pretty. I look, I'm not gonna pretend like I care deeply because I'm so removed from it. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like that's the thing I don't like as well. When you see immigrants sometimes, they have a lot of like they overcompensate for how little they know of their own culture, that they're like, yeah, dude, it's actually the most important thing in the world. It's like, you did not know about the major players in this operation 5 minutes ago. So don't give me that shtick about like caring really.
How
So
to get in touch with my Farsix spirituality.
the diaspora for dummies. But no, all I have to say is, look, I think that there it was, and this is actually interesting, the schizotopia aspect of the show, I guess. It's like the CIA killed the only guy who could have maybe brought Iran into a more stable democratic place because
Mossadegh?
yeah, Mossadegh, yeah, because he was a communist sympathizer. A Two-Day Party was a communist party, and to fight the Red Wave, they killed him. And then afterwards, they put in this puppet, this Shah, who obviously now in retrospect sounds good because he's not like a religious fundamentalist. He doesn't, beat women in the streets. But it was not a good time either under that. You know, it's like it was complete oppression. It was no freedom of speech. People being jailed, just not to the extent that they are now after the 79 revolution. So it's just, like there's a nostalgia for him. I understand that, but it's like being nostalgic for Bush or Reagan. You know, if you don't
Well,
like.
there's plenty of that here.
I know exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why. So there are people who feel that way, but you're romanticizing an aspect of it, and forgetting all the context. It was not good.
All right. So, what are you cooking, man? Did you bring back some falafel recipes or what?
You are dead set, brother, on the script. I think that here's the deal.
Here's what I know. Here's what I think is funny. You tell
Yeah.
me there's these things you want to talk about. I
I
ask you
didn't
about
say
them,
that.
and then you act shocked that I'm asking you about the things that you said you wanted to talk
I
about.
set myself up for failure all the time, man.
What is this? What the hell is this?
Because it's like I thought this
I'm
would
like, what do you
like
want to talk about? You're like, here's the things I want to talk about. I'm like,
yeah.
cool. Then I politely ask you about the things you said you want to talk about. And you're like, whoa, dude. And you're just throwing my questions right back at me. What is this? Why am I being
Yeah.
interrogated?
That's true. That's a little yeah. I agree. Either way, what are you cooking? Let's flip the script, all right? Let's
No, that's not bad podcast etiquette. I'm asking you what it is that
Yeah.
you like cooking. You said you're a decent cook. Let's hear about it.
So what do you mean by podcast etiquette exactly? I'll answer your question. I don't want to dodge the question. I know
You
draft dodger.
you've been dodging this entire time. We
Okay, let's.
go from your parents, we're back in Egypt, and we're in
Yeah.
Mexico City. Anyone who sits down and tries to map out this episode, it's going to be a intertextual
Yeah. This ain't your grandma's schizotopia. You know what I'm
odyssey.
saying? This ain't whatever guys, or authors come on here and talk normally like human beings. This is the real deal.
Yeah.
If you want to go crazy.
Forget cooking. You got some stand up in you, right?
Oh gosh, we're going down from the parents to the cooking to the stand. Oh, we're going.
I
Go
guess
ahead.
I'll just have to keep asking about things until we get to something you actually want to talk about. And since the things you said you wanted to talk about aren't the things you want to talk about, I'm
I
going to have
don't,
to start
man.
poking around in the dark. And I'm
Yeah.
thinking, I know you got some stand up comedian in you that you're probably going to be
Oh.
real shy and coy about, right?
Yeah.
But have you done stand up? I believe you have.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Let's give me a
I'm
bit. Give me a fucking bit
sorry.
right now. It's now open mic night. It's not the time to be shy, buddy. No more of the faux shyness.
Yeah. Well, no, here's a good thing. Here's a good thing I like to cook, bro. I love to cook good,
Son of a bitch,
Korean.
motherfucker. Now we're back to cooking. Which, what is
Oh
it? What are we
my
cooking?
God. That's funny that the insults you pick are very Indian of you. You know what I'm saying? When you get angry, it's like, oh my God, son of a bitch.
You know what it is? It's because,
Motherfucker.
tell me more about Indian insults.
Well, it's like English insults, but the really classic ones are like, mother son of a bitch. Oh my God.
They're the
son
typical,
of a bitch.
yeah, okay, but that's them culturally appropriating me. They like, yeah. They pick up the like angry white guy insults and then that becomes their English version of insults.
That's not good, Buster. I don't know if they're really picking up all the white guys. Yeah. Speaking of, bro, it's insane. In the 60s, there's a movie called The Killers, all right? John Cassavetes plays in that. He plays a race car driver, and Ronald Reagan plays the bad guy. So I
a race card. He plays the race. He's a race card driver.
Listen, honey, I'm actually one quarter black. No, he plays a race car driver. Yeah.
Oh, race car. Oh, right. Yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, Ronald Reagan's the bad guy. And I'm wondering how the hell did you elect a bad guy? Like, I could not imagine Christopher Walken being president. You know what I'm saying? Like a guy who usually plays bad guys. I couldn't imagine that as in the White House.
I mean, Reagan. Because he didn't always play the bad guy. He wasn't
true, but he did though. So you can have some guys. Because remember, this is not like today. Today we have all sorts of media all the time. We got YouTube tapped in. We got Criterion Channel playing under Subway Surfers. All I'm saying is, maybe there's families in the 60s that saw one movie a month, maybe, you know, on TV or something like that. Like a very low amount. You know, like a not very frequent movie watchers. And then so they see this guy on TV who's the bad guy, and then they see him running for president. So it's like, you know, it's hard to imagine that family would vote for Ronald Reagan.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for coming to Open Mic Night. We're now about to hear from one of the fucking best comedians.
That was the joke.
From Kanukistan.
Yeah. Yeah.
His name's DC. He's about to do some fucking comedy for us.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to be deported to Egypt.
That's honestly a terrible thing to do to me, you know.
Yeah, so this better you bet I better hear some pretty fucking comedy.
Yeah,
game well, speak straight. I better hear some pretty fucking funny comedy.
Yeah, I got
coming
you.
Down
I
the pipeline
you.
Right now. All right, thank you.
Yeah, well, so now speaking of presidents who have been on television, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I'm just gonna talk about another movie, and that's what you usually do, by the way. If you don't have a bit, here's a pro tip. We're getting inside the comedian studio.
No, you have a bit, you just don't want to tell me.
I don't have a bit.
Oh, if you've done stand-up, you got some bits. I think you got enough bits.
Look.
I think you got a whole bag of bits that you don't want to show me for some reason.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you don't have to hesitate. You don't have to hesitate. You know what I'm saying? So, the other president I was going to talk about
here. Just tell me some fucking jokes.
Richard Nixon. All right, Richard Nixon, he has this movie called, actually, he doesn't have the movie because he's not in it really, but Robert Altman's The Secret Honor, or not even this, just Secret Honor, you know, where Phil Baker Hall plays Ronald Reagan. You know what I'm saying? He plays Ronald Reagan speaking. But we all know that Ronald Reagan couldn't string together two sentences. You know what I'm saying? If Secret Honor was a serious movie,
He was the great communicator. What are you talking about? The dementia didn't hit him until he was out of office. I mean, it was starting up probably mid 80s, but it didn't really affect him until he's out of office.
Yeah, now we're going into it.
Forcing me into Reagan apologism. What is this? Just tell me a fucking joke. Come on.
But Nancy, what do you think of Nancy though? I'm sorry. Look.
I don't talk about Nance. That is a woman who's not been relevant in 30 years.
Nancy Reagan. She's been,
yeah,
she's
why
been,
do I need to, what do I need to talk about Nancy Reagan for?
Because she's always brought up because we talk about Dare. Because you don't like Dare, don't you? As a stoner yourself, you're not
a Darehead. The funny thing about Dare, do they have a Canadian version of Dare?
Probably. I was, again, these things don't really exist these days because people just do drugs and they're allowed
to. Gave up. Yeah, they just gave up. It's human rights to do drugs in Canada, is what I heard.
Well, that's actually funny. They built like a 3 or 4 story building right now, which is like, I forget what it's called, like a safe haven or something like that. So they get clean syringes and protection, like, you know, medical supervision, and people could just shoot up in there.
Very European.
That's insane. Yeah, which is, look, I'm a very pro drugs guy, but I think that you're making drugs uncool. You know what I'm saying?
That's probably the only way you could win the war on drugs is stop making them seem so edgy and cool, which is all that Dare did when I was a kid.
Yeah, but did it do it really? Because I feel like Dare, now people make fun of it, really. It's not like it wasn't effective.
It was, well, because they would give you a shirt, then the shirt would looked kind of cool. They tried to make it look like that radical extreme, almost graffiti font for the Dare t-shirt. And then, you know, the cop would come in and he would tell you all these wild stories about fighting with drug addicts. And then he would tell you in detail about every type of drug there is and what it does. And it's like, it's funny, you're kind of just giving us an education on all of the different things we could potentially get high off of.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be it's supposed to instill in us, you know, a deep fear of drugs, but it's like any boy on the cusp of puberty is going to listen to that and is going to be excited by it. I certainly was. I remember that's what I loved asking him about, is like fighting guys on PCP and stuff like that. So I think I'm not, I don't know if it had the opposite effect, but sort of like if you had just not told us anything, not told us about that this world existed at all, it might have kept us from it. You know, so
now that's interesting. I think I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm like, these things, especially in an age where everything goes around, like it would have come out. You know, you can't keep something secret for forever.
This was, I mean, this was pre-internet is the other thing. So it's not
true, but I know, but the world still followed, you know? So like if, for example, they kept it hidden for your generation, the future generation, they're going to get it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I mean. It's like, you can't escape this kind of general freedom.
But I would also say the all or nothing mentality, and this was the other thing about DARE, is that they would argue that, you know, weed is a gateway drug, and if you smoke pot, and the next thing, there's nothing stopping you from doing cocaine and heroin and meth and all the rest of it. And it's like, that's just not true. I think telling a bunch of kids that once you've done one drug, you may as well have done them all. Probably had the opposite effect as to the one that they said that they wanted, but
that's
I
true,
think DARE was silly.
No, that part I agree with for sure. If you're saying like, oh, you took one hit of weed, all right, it's time to get on the H. You know what I'm saying?
Or that there's no difference. It's not that like that there's effectively no real difference, or that they're somehow equivalent, I think was kind of silly, because every kid's gonna have a sip of beer eventually and have a puff of weed. Well, especially now because weed's everywhere, but.
Yeah, especially, well, it's the same thing with fat people. They say like, "Oh, you have a muffin, you're fat, so go eat a whole," you know. So and then
you might as well
crazy.
Butt chug seed oils. Yeah, you know? That's just, I don't see why that would be.
Yeah, though.
Give
I
me
will
a fucking
say,
bit. Give me a fucking
no,
bit.
Bro,
before
stop.
I lose my goddamn mind.
Relax, relax. It's
I'm
good.
Not relaxing. I'm getting pissed off. Give me some fucking comedy already. I feel like you're being shy about this for no good reason. This is it. The mic is hot.
Yeah,
we've been talking for an hour. Let's hear some fucking jokes, bro.
There's no shyness about it. I've literally nothing.
This is nothing but shyness. This is not even stage fright. If you've done, I know you've done some fucking stand up. Yeah. Let's hear some.
Look, you're setting me up to fail, and that's the thing.
No, I'm not. I'm setting you up to
you're
fly,
very nice.
Baby boy. I'm setting
know,
you up
I know,
to
I know,
fly.
I know, but it's a medium that translates really.
I'm saying I believe.
Thank you. And you see, you think you're helping, but the thing is, it translates really, really poorly to this format. You know, like in one. To one person, to one room, the type of jokes that work are the ones about the conversation. You know, if you bring in pre-written bits, you know, and into a one
crack
person conversation,
crack a can, because I want
to
hear
you're
some
not,
jokes.
You're not a trailblazer. I love you, but this is not. This has been done. It's failed every single time. You know, so it's not. You know, what I'm saying like,
I'll tell you what. You tell me a joke. If I don't laugh, I'll edit it out.
No, it's nothing about shyness. I have no problem about, you know, bombing on stage. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this. You know, it's not a. problem at all.
How did you get into stand-up? Let's talk about that, Ben. How did you get into stand-up?
Yeah, it's just honestly, I did the pod first and I was like, yo, let me try to get some friends in the scene. So that's pretty much it. It's just it was a social group. It's like a book club.
All right, how's it going? How is the fucking joke life going?
It's going all right. I don't know. I've never been great at it. You know what I'm saying? Some people do podcasts out of necessity. They're like, oh, they have to do this. I really much prefer the format of radio and speaking than you know, specific and filmmaking it. So if because the podcast is something that's really, as you know, obviously, it's really, you disregard it quickly. You know, like no one listens to the same episode every year 17 times, except in a very, very few cases. Right. So essentially, it's something that people consume weekly and they like it or not. And then they discard it. They don't really think about it. That's why it has to keep coming. Right. Whereas something like a special or even like I'm more of a filmmaker these days. That's really like my really passion. That's what I'm doing more. And like a film. You put a lot of effort into it. No one sees it for a long, long time. Sometimes years pass before anybody even gets to see it, you know, outside the production room. But I think that a movie is something that you do once and that stays, you know, especially if it's good. Like a good film from the 90s, even if it's small budget, even if there's been better ones since, it has a certain like staying power. Whereas podding is like the really discardable format. So I like to have both, right? So comedians, the reason why I'm saying this is because comedians sometimes they do, oh, well, I do the podcast, so I get some money and I grow a little audience while I work on my special. But me, I was never good enough or never really like cared. I don't have no interest to go continue really like full time in comedy, especially when filmmaking is so fun and so much more satisfying to me. So I think the long term project now is really more like film and TV series, like production and eventually direction. And I do a bit of writing. And now obviously the pod is just something I do, you know, like a weekly thing to keep me on the train.
All right. Top five celebrity impersonations
that I can do, or in general,
just
I do that all the time, bro. That's a classic. When someone asks a question, you just say, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's correct. I'm not a big impressions guy, to be honest. I love a good president. I mean, you can't not like a good president, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, whether it's Obama, like it's
Yeah.
not. Yeah. What about you, man? What's your
You got nothing. So you got Rodney Dangerfield. That's it. You're tapped after that.
Oh, even that, that's not a, I, you know what? That's the thing. If you keep it short enough, anything works. If you want to have a little sound bite that's like 3 seconds long, you can do any accent ever. That's my trick. That's what I do. I'm the man of a billion voices, bro. You know that guy on whatever social media? That's me. I've got 5 million billion voices because I can do them for 2 seconds.
All right, can you give me like 10 3-second impersonations?
Whoa, that's whoa. I mean, what? Let's. You know what? Here's a compromise. All right, the art of the deal. That's what I read. I've been reading the art of the deal. You do one, I do one, and we back and forth it, and we'll get.
No, I'm not. No, dude, I'm trying to get you on the
Yeah.
highway to the danger zone,
Yeah.
okay? I'm trying to get you out of the
Kenny Loggins,
nest.
tight.
And you refuse to fly, and I don't know why.
And now you're putting the whole onus on me. But if you want the monkey to
Yeah.
dance, you got to become monkey yourself. You know what I'm saying? Not
No,
monkey.
no. If there's one thing I've learned, you don't make a monkey out of yourself, okay?
No?
You got to stay circus master, okay? You got to keep
Oh,
that
dude, I
circus
monkey out all the
master
time.
respectability.
I monkey out all the time. I'm a gibbon style guy, but I do get orangutan sometimes, and I sometimes go gorilla, you know. But most of the time, I'm gibbon.
I think you got a lot of bonobo in you, is the impression that I get.
You call me a bitch. You call me a female.
A bonobo? That's
Yeah.
not it. The bonobos are just the horny apes.
True, but they're also the matriarchal society, so.
I didn't know
The
that. I
future
didn't
is
know that.
female.
I didn't know that.
That's my first impression.
You'd
Chef
know
Boyardee.
more about the bonobo than me, bro.
I love monkeys. Yeah. Chef, this is my Chef Boyardee
Okay, at least that was an impression. At least we got one actual
I'm
impression
Chef
other than Rodney
Boyardee.
Dangerfield.
I
Can you do
love.
Chef Boyardee as Rodney Dangerfield?
Oh my God.
Introducing Rodney Dangerfield, the new face of Chef Boyardee. Could I get one of those maybe?
My wife, because well, Chef Boyardee's Italian, isn't he? So it can't be like, you know what I'm saying? He's Italian, isn't
It's just like he just went straight to Borat.
he?
You're a millennial at heart, is what I'm learning. You're a millennial at heart.
I'm way older than that, actually. I'm just like an old
You're
references guy. Yeah.
asked to do comedy, and you're just like, I know Borat.
My
Why would I need to
wife.
know
Yeah.
anything else?
Oh my God, they killed Kenny.
Bad, like terrible South Park impersonations. I
Oh,
like
well, you
that.
can't, brother. You can't force me to do impressions and then say they're bad. You gotta be like, oh, interesting. At least you gotta give me the benefit of the doubt.
No,
Quite
you could
frankly,
do it. You did an okay Rodney Dangerfield, and now what?
you did an okay, Rodney Dangerfield. I know this is an intellectual. He's a
I'm not,
whiskey
you know what?
drinker.
I'm not editing this episode, and I
He
bet
shouldn't.
at this
Yeah.
point no one will still be listening. It's
Yeah,
really
I
just
know.
us now.
Yeah. Tell me, Shelby. You know that. Sorry.
When we finally get to the part.
Yeah.
Okay, man, what is the best story you've ever told?
The greatest story never told. Look up that documentary. It's my favorite. I think it's lots of facts in there. You know what I'm saying? Do you know that one, Max? So you're either audio you're cutting, either the audio is cutting out, or you're trolling me at the
No, you
moment.
motherfucker. Listen,
Sorry.
I need something. I need
Yep.
something from you that you
Yeah.
refuse to give me.
I don't
And
refuse to give nothing.
you
I
do.
look,
Just tell
yeah.
me a fucking story. Tell me a
All right.
funny fucking story.
Oh, man. You know how hard that is, bro? For someone who's naturally unfunny and uninteresting, it's so hard to get like
No, what are
a.
you talking about, man?
It's like.
There's a certain genius to eight plates. You have a shtick.
Oh,
What is
flattery
that?
doesn't
And
get you far, pal.
what is the constant self-deprecation? I don't get it.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, this is actually pro techniques. Have you read? You probably read some books by the guys who do the interrogations, those guys, interrogations.
Interregnum? Is that what we're talking about? What are you talking
Intrarectum,
about?
hell yeah. No, I just said, those guys who like get to terrorists and like, hey, pal, look, the Mujahideen have been doing great. All right, you've been making lots of good progress. Let's just figure out exactly where you're placing your bases, and that's how they get the information. As you're doing, like, oh, well, actually, your show's pretty good, and you're not that bad of a guy. So let me, I hear a funny story. Give me something good. It's like I can't do that. This is either
But
way,
I can do that. That's
you
what I am
can,
doing.
you
Yes.
can't, you can do a funny
I'm
story.
the guy asking you to tell me the story.
You're right. Oh, you can't ask me.
In your
sure.
example, you're talking about the guy who's asking for the story. Yeah. And you're saying you're like the guy who can't tell the story?
Yeah, I'm like the Mujahideen fighter who can't.
Yeah,
you
but
know.
They got tons of stories. What are you talking about?
What stories? They just recite the Quran? What do you mean?
No, they got stories about shooting down Soviet helicopters with surface-to-air missiles. They got stories about fucking little boys in the ass. They got all kinds of stories. Yeah. They'll tell you all kinds
of
shit.
Here's a story I wasn't here for, man. In 1995, there's like a crazy broadcast, man, where David Bowie went up on stage with Nine Inch Nails. That would have been so insane to be at. You know what I'm saying? That would have been just an absolute wonderful experience.
That would have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
That would have been almost as cool as the time where Prince covered Jimmy Eat World.
Did he really do that?
Yeah, he really did.
The hell yeah.
There's only one bad recording of it out there, too. And they played it for Jimmy Eat World, and you could tell Jimmy Eat World was very touched by those.
That's actually crazy. Do you trust those recordings?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I believe that it happened. There were witnesses.
True. I mean, that's probably less controversial. I don't know, because as I've been saying recently, I'm kind of getting further away from conspiracies. I'm not too much of a conspiracy guy these days. But there's a few things I still cannot swallow. So, like, there's always a new that's a setup, by the way. There's always new freaking Michael Jackson drops coming out. I don't understand how that's possible. How can there be new unreleased songs, especially when AI is getting so almost like you can write or type anything into AI and have Michael Jackson sing it, you know? So like that someone made that.
Well,
my
conspiracy theory is that Michael Jackson was AI the entire time.
All right. Well, tell me about it. What did he switch?
That's the gist of it. Yeah, he was just AI the entire time. He was played by multiple actors. It's all just been a hoax. I'm a MJ denier. I just don't think he existed at all.
If you want to get, that's actually something I know a bit about. Here's the one thing I could have added.
You know what I mean? Like, it's all in front of your face. You're like Never Never Land. It doesn't exist, right? It's a fantasy world.
The kid is not my son because I cannot have children because I don't exist. So true.
The Jackson 5, that's because there's all these different Jacksons who did exist who are all pretending to be Michael Jackson.
And you know there's more than 5 Jacksons, by the way. That's crazy as well.
Exactly. You got spares, you got alternates, right?
But no, seriously, I think Michael Jackson's innocent if you want to get into that.
Well, yeah, crazy. I mean, I do believe that these people were sexually abused, but they were not sexually abused by Michael Jackson because Michael Jackson doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, so now wait a second. Now I'm gonna flip the gun. This is the part where Jason Bourne, all right, you're the CIA agent. You're holding the gun to Jason Bourne's head, and now Jason Bourne, aka literally me, turns around, takes the gun, and switches around. All right. Here's your problem, because now I'm giving you a good topic, and you refuse to go into it through irony poisoning. You're like, oh, well, Michael Jackson. Well, Michael Jackson existed, okay, but
no, I'm saying that's very. Yeah, I don't buy that at all. Moon landing, all right. I believe.
Yeah.
Holocaust happened. Michael Jackson, that is a hoax.
Yeah. Well, why? I'm interested.
There's just no proof that he existed. And also this whole thing about like, oh, he's having multiple, oh, he has a skin disease. Oh, he has multiple.
True.
He's having constant plastic surgery. It's and just to make it easier to swap out alternates. It's not. Yeah. It's because there is no actual Michael Jackson.
All right. So since you refuse to speak about Michael Jackson, who do you think has been replaced? Because I think Arnold and Paul McCartney have been replaced.
Well,
that's
the thing. I don't really think that these because I know that Michael Jackson never existed. And with him, it's the most obvious because it's all you can tell it's just different people from start to finish who are playing Michael Jackson. And all of that plastic surgery nonsense was just to make it easier and easier to have fake Michael Jacksons.
Right.
I don't know about these other celebrities, but I, you know,
you don't know
gives
Paul
me a
McCartney.
Strong,
you kidding
it
me?
It gives
right
me
now.
A strong. No. It's not that I don't know him. It gives me a strong inclination that they probably never existed either. But I can't prove it. It's not as obvious as it is with Michael Jackson. But it's like, it's very probable that these people, none of these people ever existed, and they're just they've always been a group of different actors and special effects and
that's kind of crazy. So you're saying that the role of Paul McCartney was always played by an actor. Only John and George and all the other and Ringo were like permanent members, and then switched them out until they found Billy Shears, who they finally gave the full time position to. That's crazy.
It wouldn't surprise me if you just had one guy playing all of the Beatles,
because they all have like the same accent. Like
there's some English thespian who could definitely knew the lay of the land enough that he could be a bunch of different dudes from Liverpool.
Why is Paul McCartney's, as a guy with an annoying voice myself, why is Paul McCartney's voice so fucking irritating? Can you
why do you think your voice is irritating?
Everybody's voice. If you listen to someone long enough, you just want to kill them. That's just how it is.
The longer you listen to somebody, the more you like them. What are you talking about?
Not for me, bro. What are you talking? What is this positive Max about? Last time you were on, you're like, oh, life is dark and gray, and the leaves blow. You're giving me poetry. You're like, the leaves blow, the sand in the wind, you know, stuff like that. And now
I do not remember giving you any poetry, but if I did, it was absolute fire. I know that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like,
I mean, I have been positive. I've been pretty despondent over the last couple months. That's true. Okay. I am starting to feel better.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? Once you accept that Michael Jackson never existed, like, the life really gets a lot better.
That's actually great. That's great. That's a joke right there. Hell yeah. But that's awesome. That's sick. The reason why you're feeling better is because Michael Jackson, the revelation. That's what they call epiphany, I think, right? When people are just like, they find out something new about life, like a new facet.
No, sure. Absolutely.
Like, turn that frown upside down, really changed my life. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Owen Wilson.
How about 1 second? 1 second impressions. All right, Owen Wilson. Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
Obama.
What I'm saying. No. You were just doing a confused guy. Let me be clear. I can't listen. The problem is, there's a convergence. Here's my convergence. Do you do math?
I feel like you could do an Indian guy doing impression of anybody. Could you give me that at least?
And that's all the
right.
Thing.
Could you give me an Indian guy doing his best George W. Bush? Could you do that for me?
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, cannot shame me again. Or fool me again. Sorry, I fucked it up. But it's okay.
It's give me your best. Yeah, I need Indian Donald. I need Indian Donald real bad.
Quite frankly, I don't understand why I do not get the blood. I wonder why I don't get it. Okay, I ask Mexico. Mexico didn't pay it, and I want the money back. Guarantee. Thank you.
Okay, can I get Indian Bill Clinton denying sexual misconduct allegations?
Oh, baby girl, I did not. I did not have sexual relation with that woman. She had sexual relation with these nuts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I mean, I did not have her touch it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
I need Indian Joe Biden. I need Indian Joe Biden.
Okay, listen up, Jack. He's a little more like, I was trying to get on my chutney, but, the Mustang Silverado. Okay, Mustang Silverado. Hello. That's it.
Can I get the last words of Indian Shinzo Abe after being shot?
Oh, what were the actual words? I'm not an intellectual. I don't remember.
As far as I know, he had no last words, but I mean, just hypothetical.
Oh, okay. Shinzo Abe, he was the Japanese guy who everybody loved.
Yeah, you know, never mind. I got as much comedy as I was going to get out of you. I fucked up by upping the ante. I should have just stayed with American presidents.
No, I can do it. I can do Shinzo Abe.
Fine, please.
Priyanka, yeah, Chutney Balanka. This is not racist. They just have multiple names. Look, okay, wait a second. He gets shot. Like, oh, that's it. I'm getting shot. And I was like, oh, yeah.
That's great.
Anime was a mistake. And then he dies. Thank you. Hey, I got a Mike Small Schizotopia laugh. That's so much. That's awesome, dude.
I mean, it's going to be hard to top that. Where are we at? We've been going for over an hour, okay?
Yeah.
And this has been one of the best, but also one of the most insufferable episodes of any podcast
Absolutely.
I've ever done.
Yeah. Please edit it, if you don't mind. I'll pay you to edit it, because if you don't edit it, then it's going to be great. If you edit it, it's going to be a great app, but if you don't, it's going to be kind of like too messy.
I don't think I'm editing this one, dude. I think I'm subjecting. I think I want people to know the 8 Plates experience.
Oh, man.
Because a long time ago, I remember the first time I was ever on your podcast.
Yeah, was it 2
years
ago?
I felt like I was really doing you a favor, and then you just kind of bullied me until I got actually angry at the end. And then later, when I listened to that episode, I noticed that you had edited it so that it wasn't so clear that we were actually getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah. The point, here's some inside baseball no one cares about. I think you have to, sometimes if you're, because lots of shows, there's too many podcasts, everybody knows this.
Yeah.
So you want to try to do something that's a little different. And what you're doing, it's like a calm, kind of like unsettling, but still like a calm experience. Me, it's the opposite. I kind of want to get you to that stage of adrenaline where you're like kind of panicking. And I do that by like slight jazz, blah, blah, blah. But then eventually, at one point, if someone understands that, you can kind of like ride the lightning. You know what I'm saying? Metallica. You ride the wave. So instead of being crushed away and hurt by that, you kind of ride that. And, you know, some people kind of thrive in that environment where it's like, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. And it gets kind of surreal. I don't like normal conversation.
It's not peanut butter and jelly. It's like peanut butter and lemonade.
Yeah, it's like milk and lemonade. It just curls up. and you drink that.
It's not. No, I mean, because peanut butter and lemonade, I don't think that would be a terrible combination. Like if I was eating a peanut butter sandwich with some lemonade, but it'd be a little weird.
Yeah,
it'd be a little. It'd be like, you know, the smoothie peanut butter me, and then the kind of electric, maybe like jarring little too sweet lemonade,
aka zesty. Hell yeah, the
zesty lemonade.
I love being called zesty, dude.
This zesty Farsix lemonade. You'd be like, oh, that's a little. He's giving me a kick. You know what I mean? But the peanut butter puts you in to Inception, but then the little lemonade wakes you up, right?
We're back, dude. Thank you so much. This has been great.
We're so fucking back, bro.
I say this and I'm annoyed by this. Okay, no one cares. It's not, but I just real quick, I hate that. Because we're back, it feels good to say, but then you have like a flashback. It's like, for example, when someone uses the N-word, you know? The same way, it's like, it's not even a bit, but I'm saying like you say that and it's like you kind of get, you have so much history in the back, so much Twitter history hits you in the head afterwards, like, ah, you feel ashamed, you know?
Saying we're back admits that we were gone.
Yeah. Or it's so over and stuff like that. It's like, all I do is win. That's what this is the good, if you want to play a song, you want to play a song on the show, dude? You want to play a song? No?
You want to hear All I Do Is Win?
Yeah, dude, I love that song. That's my theme. All I do is win, no matter what. Got money on my mind. I could never give it up. Good, dude.
All right. I think we can just leave it at that.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. And please, do what you want. It's your pod.
Hold on. Where can people find you? Is anyone you want to give a shout out to, including yourself?
Well, look, if you're not editing this, no one's listening at this point, so I might as well leave with class.
It is just, you say whatever you want at this point.
Yeah. No.
Shout out Pornhub. Shout out Israel.
Actually, I'm gonna shout out something real. I'm starting a new show with Mick Maizano. Of course, Mick Maizano. But it's gonna be great. It's called iHole Radio, the International House of Radio. Okay, IHO Radio. Check that out. Coming out soon this Monday.
All right. Give me links. Give me relevant links. I'll include them.
Yes, sir. All right. That's it.
All I do is
win, no matter what. Got money on my mind. I can never give it up.
All I do is win. No matter what, got money on my mind, I can never get it up. We never be talented through the remix. Everybody hands go up.
Hey, showtime.
And they stay there. And they stay there. And they stay there. What you think I'm high for? Every summer drop more. Hits to make my stock go up. Them hands go up. The bands go up. I'm number one in this bitch and I'ma stay there. We the best of the best. Cry while you haters asleep. I'm yelling free Weezy. I'm at the heart of the streets. Who hotter than me? I'm wearing the crown.
Tell me can't stop, won't stop.
Go hate on me now.
I can never get enough when it come to getting fitted. Niggas ain't ready for my Ferrari Scagletti. Mario ain't dreaded. Money coming fast. My honeycomb hideout is made of all glass. I can never be a racist. Wake up every morning just to count white faces. Neo in the Matrix. Glorious as Morpheus. Employed all warriors. I'm mean as a scorpion. Dr. Kevorkian.
Yo, every time I come, I gotta know a nigga come to get a lot of money. When I'm in the building and I come and say there ain't no motherfucking body. Better.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Niggas know I got it when I hit you with a pitter patter. Whenever they see me, then you hear a lot of chitter chatter. Niggas know there ain't nobody better. I watch a lot of niggas when I'm in a cut. So sick when I come and hit them in a gut. You will crown me king.
No matter what.
Get him. Okay, let's shine, my friend. Get up on my grind again. Some niggas should be happy that I chose to rhyme with them, cuz.
All I do is win. No matter what. Got money on my mind. I can never get it up. We never be a talent through the remix. Everybody hands go up.
Hey. Showtime.
And they stay there. And they stay there. And they stay there. Cause all I do is win.
Yo, turn me up, man. I want them to hear me.
Come on.
Hey, yo, check this out. Her heart racing like she smoked cocaine. I got a billion reasons you should know my whole name. Got the most paper, Mr. New York Times. I'm a natural born winner, nigga, New York mine. Everybody getting money, but I got the first six. Now I run the game, so I toss the first pitch. Yeah, I let you wife her, but she's still my first bitch. Life is less than 9 digits, nigga, that ain't fucking rich, motherfucker.
Yo, all I do is win, ain't that the reason that you really mad? Undisputed head.